This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get settled in.
Well, all right.
Let's get cozy and comfy. Light some candles.
Oh, did you start?
I think this is it.
I think this is the last episode.
Do I normally talk like that, Karen?
Kind of presentationally?
Cozy and comfy. Do I?
Georgia, are you seducing me in your own home? Welcome.
Hi. This is my favorite murder. Karen is taking a drink of water. I'm Georgia.
I don't know that every once in a while a hey comes out. It feels like I have to do it sometimes. Like I don't have a choice.
Get it out of your system.
Hey.
Hey. Bye.
Bye. Welcome to episode 21 of the podcast that rocks you to sleep at night and then shocks you awake at 3 a.m. with bad feelings. And yet, you still want to be friends with it.
We're now a sleep helping podcast. We're mm-hmm. like the podcast Sleep With Me that I'm obsessed with, mm-hmm. except we'll make you stay awake all night.
That's right.
So it's for people who don't want to fall asleep ever again.
Are you a night shift security guard?
Yeah.
You might want to listen to this podcast.
Do you have manic depression and you're just going to be up all night anyways?
Then jump on board. Do you, do you have a colicky baby?
Are you a murderer? A serial killer?
Are you,
a burglar.
A burglar? Yeah. Are you a cat burglar?
Are you a cat burglar?
Let us sneak along the rooftops with you. We'd love to.
Let's do it.
Goodbye. I worked, today as most Americans did.
Not me.
Wait, but you did do something.
No.
Really? Were you in that outfit all day?
Not this one. This is actually cuter than what I've been wearing all day. And this is a fucking house dress.
Georgia has a house dress on that looks like something from Bewitched, mm-hmm. but hotter.
It's like a key party, like a casual key party outfit.
It's like a tomato red with gold brocade, sleeveless, mini house dress.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't make them like that anymore.
Karen, I'm trying to seduce you.
Girl.
You were correct.
Girl, it's working. I don't need a house dress.
Yeah,
I just
so you
need
work-
murder stories.
Yay.
That's the sad truth
That's
of it.
That's all that, yeah.
Have you, I'm trying to think of like, have I ever been to a party or a situation where a guy has talked about this topic we love so much, kind of brought it up themselves.
Like you've bonded, you've been like, I had the best conversation with this guy last night.
Right. Like across a crowded room. Up.
Yeah. Gosh.
Gersh.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
What is happening over there?
Kev's just playing with these.
There's a kitten in the room. Everyone should know this.
Georgia's upping the cat factor by 1,000 with a kitten named Kevin.
Oh my God. Like, and he's being very loud right now, but he's so cute.
He's super, he looks... Georgia won't admit that she bought a purebred cat.
I did not buy. Adopt, don't shop. God damn it.
This cat looks so purebred, though.
It's
weird.
He's a Lynx Point Siamese. He's purebred. However, he was found, I don't know, in a dumpster.
Let's say in a tiny cat-sized dumpster.
He was bottle-fed.
He was bottle-fed by a raccoon.
A cat burglar stole him from a purebred breeding place and is now... adopting them out.
And then a family of frogs that wear vests raised him down by a pond.
Stop it. That's so cute. The mom accepted them as her baby.
Yep. And Kevin wrote on the mom frog's back until they were like, this hurts. I got to get rid of this
There's
cat.
George's house. Let's drop him off.
Toot toot.
Here we are.
They put their lily pad right up. Am I hallucinating?
Are we both high? Neither of us got high before this.
This is adding to the dream, the sleep podcast.
Oh, that's right. Meandering stories.
We're going to try to add, along with all the horrible visuals that we feed straight into your brain, we're also adding some fun toad in a vest visuals.
Yeah, some acid visuals, some fucking, let's say you're on peyote. Have you ever done peyote? Is
no,
that a thing people
God.
Do? God. I've never been offered peyote in my life.
Don't you have to go to the Andes or something to get that shit?
Sure.
Or
ayahuasca?
Be friends with Duncan Trussell or something. I am friends with him.
Oh, are you?
I go, name drop. Sorry if you can't handle it.
Are you? Yeah.
What do we got? Any housekeeping?
Man, we got a shitty shooting story.
Oh,
dude. Do we talk about that? Are we just going to be like, every week we talk about what's in the news?
I mean, seriously, it's such a bummer. I mean, this one too is like such a huge one that I didn't process it. When I first heard it, I was like, oh yeah, mass shooting. And then as it progresses and I look at social media and everything, it's so awful. I feel like it's one of those serious watermark things where people, it's like, when are we going to do something?
Well, one would hope, but why wouldn't Sandy Hook be that? Those were like 5-year-old children that got gunned down.
It's so rough.
You know, not that gay people are any, but it's just this.
When does it stop?
Why wouldn't that have been it?
Yes.
I got shamed on social media.
Why?
Okay. I don't want to be like.
This topic?
Yeah. I want to take responsibility for my actions and not say this is stupid. And say that maybe I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted something about like guns don't kill people. People with mental illness who have access to guns.
Oh, dude!
And I got all these responses that were like, "Please don't. You need to not say homophobia as a mental illness." It was all on the point that I said that guy has a mental illness, which I think when you fucking gun down 100 people in a nightclub, you probably have some sort of mental illness. But they were saying that I was calling homophobia a mental illness.
Right. And so people with things like clinical depression are like, don't fucking put that guy in my group.
I have clinical depression and he can be in our group.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I feel like people these days.
No, they weren't saying that. They were saying that homophobia isn't a mental illness.
Like his eyes were wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing.
But I don't think you can kill people without having some sort of mental illness.
I feel like these days there's certain words you just can't even say without. I mean, you can say them all you want, but just know you're going to get 50 at replies from people who are either wildly unreasonable or coming from a direction that they are not taking into account. They want to parse words with you.
It's just hard because I know I wish those people knew me and that I am completely, I am so not homophobic and I was just trying to be supportive and saying how awful it is that we don't have any gun control.
Right.
And I'm disgusted by it. But instead, it just seemed like I was doing something wrong by saying those things felt really shitty.
I mean, people love to tell you you're wrong. Not you specifically, but people love to tell each other they're wrong.
My mom.
Mom.
It's really into that.
Yeah. But I think that's especially in those times where when people are in grief or in panic or in serious fear, they just start reacting and answering and trying to police other people because they don't have any control over the way the world works.
Yeah.
And it just turns into like real, nobody's saying the right thing and you can't say that. Yeah. And this is how you grieve and this is how you express yourself. And these are the rules and the rules and the rules and the rules. And it's like, that's fine, except for,
you're going after the wrong people.
Maybe. Well, exactly. But also, just like you said, they don't know you. So they're assuming. I've done that a bunch of times where I've tweeted something that then I'm like, oh, this might be a buzzword or this might be sensitive. And no matter what people write back to me, the first thing I assume is that they're against me.
Me too.
And so then I have to read it twice to be like, oh, no, they're making a joke along with me.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's not the best place. Social media isn't, we all pretend like it's a resort and it's actually, it's kind of like, it's like a weird hobo camp. Am I allowed to say hobo?
Hobo camp.
it's like crazy hobo camp where everyone's drinking moonshine. And so there's a lot of big reactions and there's a lot of potatoes and aluminum foil.
I didn't say the wrong thing. You misconstrued my, you know, because I know. That's like such a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, but I just let him have it. Like, there's, yeah. You just let him have it.
Yeah, I deleted what I said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's not, I don't know.
It's all shit.
There's no way to do it right. And especially when people are like, when people are up in arms, it starts to feel good to be up in arms. Not in this case specifically, but I feel like, you know, public shaming and the shaming thing, it starts to feel like, no, you need to hear something about how this really is. It's because people are scared. And that's like, it's such a terrible threat. Like a guy murdered people because he saw two guys kissing.
It's almost too, I see it in a way where it's like people who are really into these, like, let's say you're in an indie band and you love them and then they get big and you're like, you don't get to claim them. It's like almost like you don't get to say that this person is insane because they're homophobic. That's my thing. And how dare you try to empathize?
Right. Yeah, you're empathizing wrong is what you're being told.
Right.
But that's also, you have to remember that there's people that don't, that are not on Twitter because they appreciate a turn of phrase you were basically doing a satire of that old saying. And
which I shouldn't have, it's corny anyways.
Well, no.
I was being emotional. Let's be
honest. What if in the middle of this whole thing, I'm like, that was hacky, Georgia. Because I don't agree.
The reason they were pissy was because you were being a fucking hack.
No, I just think, yeah, I think people love to be able to be like other in those situations.
Well, I didn't mean to offend anyone, and I am completely supportive of mostly everyone.
Also, if you're on Twitter and you find yourself at replying and correcting people's grammar, wording, or behavior, you might want to just go have a nice tall glass of water and just stand in the kitchen for 20 minutes.
I just took a sip of water. Was that directed at me?
You know what? I use everything around me like a great improviser.
It's amazing. The only correction of grammar that I've ever appreciated was some woman wrote to the National Spelling Bee, tweeted at them and said like something about like they have this like this couch that when you lose you can go talk to a therapist on the National Spelling Bee.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was like, can we stop coddling the kids and when they lose just like let them fucking lose and like learn a lesson? But she had written loose. And so the National Spelling Bee just wrote at reply and wrote lose. It spelled it correctly. Which was,
God bless,
amazing.
My favorite thing like that happened recently is they were talking about, somebody wrote an article on, I think it was on Huffington Post, about how inappropriate it was for the Jimmy Kimmel Show to ask Megan Fox something about her pregnancy. And Jimmy Kimmel, it was his Twitter account, wrote back, Megan actually approved all of the questions that we asked her before the show, so go fuck yourself. And I retweeted it, a ton of people I know, where it's like, yeah, actually in television, all of those things are pre-agreed. There is no one that blindsides people on shows like that.
That's why
that's
I can't
not how
watch those shows, is because I am so was that right that you went skiing recently?
I did. You know, it's funny that What's you mentioned funny? That is. So we were up in Whistler. it's fake as can be.
I make me so uncomfortable, dude, watching those things.
It was my life.
Oh, you did that.
All my sister says you're the worst person to watch to me, that I'm the worst person to watch TV with, because it's been ruined for me so bad that I love ruining TV for my sister.
That
I'm always
fake.
Like,
that was all fake.
Do you see that right there? That's an edit. That must be from something else because that lighting changed or whatever. Where she's like, why would you? I'm sorry it was ruined for you. Why do you ruin it for me? Because
it's like fun.
Because it was ruined for me. Because I can barely enjoy anything.
Oh my God. Me neither. Yes. Award shows too. I can't deal with speeches and like people, like presenters and like them saying words wrong.
Unable to read off a teleprompter when it's like, this is your job.
And like, clearly they hate the person they're presenting with. And then the person who wins is like such a fucking narcissist.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's happening in the whole room almost every time.
Here's the thing.
It all makes me sick to my stomach. Fuck it all is everything. Like, if you say you were an accountant all day, you were just like adding figures.
Yeah.
That'd be like if you then came home and you were like, do you want to watch the Adding Figures Awards? No, I fucking don't want to watch that, because this is all fucking smoke and mirrors, dog and pony.
I want to watch the Adding Figures Awards. Because that sounds fun.
I bet those guys are hot.
I bet you could make some mad like snack puns on for Adding Figures, you know? Like
you could absolutely do that old joke of why was 6 afraid of 7? 7, 8, 9.
That is so stupid.
It is the best joke ever written. Because 7, 8, 9, ladies and gentlemen.
Your next
presenter. I was being the host that was going from that rad joke.
You know when like people have parties for award shows and they like have snacks, but the snacks need to be called like whatever, like the pun on the movie?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so like some kind of math.
The numbers version of that?
Yes, for food.
Like if it was my house, I would put out a bowl of like salted peanuts and I'd be like 1,240 peanuts. That's all I can think of.
That's why you're the fucking writer in this room.
I was trying to think of the snacks that you put out for our legendary Academy Awards party that we had, some me and you and Lizzie.
Oh, that was fun. What would deviled eggs be called?
Wait, for the accounting awards?
Yeah.
Deviled dates.
Deviled eggs. I can only deviled eggs squared.
All my jokes
and
are
they
basically
were square. What if they were squared?
They were squared.
Deviled eggs squared.
If the eggs themselves were squared.
Yeah.
Are we going to have this party?
Deviled 7, 8, 9s. I would watch these things with you and Lizzie Cooperman, our friend. And
hell like, yeah.
People who hate everything and
right.
want life to fuck off.
It has to be with people that are like-minded, because I've been at ones where I want to make jokes and then people are like,
I'm keeping score.
Excuse me.
I'm keeping score.
Excuse me.
Okay. No, fuck you. I was at
fuck yourself.
I was at a wedding over the weekend, and then like a couple of us went back to this Airbnb and were drinking and stuff, and I was screaming at a show. I was yelling at, there was a documentary about like some gay actor in the 50s named Tad something.
Tab Hunter?
Yeah, and uh-huh. I was yelling about how it was all fake and all made up, and they were using modern day clips and making them look old.
Why?
None of it was true. Because I got real mad. I don't know, because it looked fake. Because I'm a fucking psychopath.
Were people like, can I just watch this document? Wait, if you were at a party, why were you watching a documentary?
It wasn't a party anymore. It was just me and like three of my closest friends.
Got it.
So it was like, they know, they've seen me at my worst. If you can't appreciate me at my worst, you can't
appreciate
hang out with me
at my worst.
Worst.
If you can't appreciate me at my worst, then you can't come to the accounting awards with
right.
me. Because 7, 8,
I'm sorry, there's a red carpet there. There's a step and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Karen, that was funny.
I think there must be a residual high. There simply must be.
Oh, you just outed Vince so hard.
Oh, sorry.
Someone got high in this house.
Edit.
It wasn't us.
It wasn't us?
It literally wasn't us.
But we sure are enjoying the worst jokes of all time right now.
Yep.
Is there an awards ceremony coming up that we can enjoy together?
We missed the Tonys yesterday.
I can't watch those.
Why would you?
Honestly, when I watch people singing at that caliber, and I'm not being sarcastic, it makes me immediately start crying. Immediately. And then I can't like wipe. It's just a weird reaction where I like kind of wish that was me.
The beauty of it.
It's an amazing ability that very, very, very few people can do. And it's not, people think it's like, oh, American Idol.
Karen, you sing?
No. But that's like that kind of singing and the way those people, like the level of performance that those people are able to give, that's like borderline opera singing.
Sure.
Like, did you see Jennifer Hudson singing Purple Rain with the cast of The Color Purple when Prince died?
No.
Like, watch the video. Somebody took it like from the back of the room.
Oh.
It's that kind of thing where you're like, this is.
I feel that way when I see you sing.
Stop it.
Because I can't, you just don't even want to know what my voice sounds like. It's like, it's like a cat screaming and vocal fry at the same time. It's so bad. And you have this like cute Riot Girl voice. And I'm like, why can't, why did I do math instead of learn to sing when I was 13? That's my opera.
That couldn't, there couldn't be a bigger compliment. I mean,
this is a murder podcast, by the way.
This is off topic.
Is it?
But also, you know what? This happened to me the other day at work. Someone goes, oh my God, you have to see this. Did you see Jenna Dewan Tatum on the lip sync show? She did Channing Tatum's routine from Magic Mike.
The lip sync show.
As her lip sync.
Cool.
I hear it's amazing. I watched two things and I was like, oh, I get why this is a hit.
Did you see What's His Cute Name doing Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation?
No.
What's his adorable name? Something, something, something.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Matt McCarthy. Yes.
It is?
Yes.
I guess, right?
Yes. Matt McCarthy has a joke of where he just sings
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It's him doing Rhythm Nation as Janet Jackson.
Oh my, I have to watch
it's
that.
It's gorgeous.
Jenna Dewan Tatum did her husband's routine from Magic Mike. We are standing in the writer's room. I'm standing behind, you know, like, it's not like anyone's facing me. So we're all facing the screen.
Yeah.
And I started crying because it was such awesome dancing.
Oh, dancing is the best.
It's so amazing. And she did, and also they kept cutting to Channing Tatum, who didn't know that's what she was going to do. And he was freaking out. He was like dying. And then she pulled him into the routine. But like the acrobatics and the accuracy. Oh, and she is such a good dancer. And she has like an 8-pack. Like her stomach is nutso. It was just, it was like so superior. And I just literally was just kept wiping. And thank God no one noticed. But I was fully crying.
What if your body could do those things?
I mean,
I still think mine can. And I think mine can too. Barely like touch the floor when I bend over.
I make the loudest groaning sound when I get off the couch every time, but I watch that and go, I could just give me
we
a
could do that. We could do that.
We should do a dance routine at the LA Podfest.
You, what if we did Michael Jackson's Thriller?
Oh my God.
Because it's about death. You're watching me right now.
We could totally do it. Guys, you have to be there. September, do you know what day it is?
11th? No, I don't know.
September 11th. I hope you guys don't forget. We'll be there.
I once did a show. Actually, Matt McCarthy's wife, Glennis McCarthy, has this amazing show that where you do this, like, it's called Dream Role, and you do this, you get to perform whatever role you've always wanted to perform. And so I wanted to do Dirty Dancing, Jennifer Grey, The Last Dance. Taught it to myself and did it alone on the stage.
I love it. Did people go batshit bananas?
No, they laughed at me. It was fun.
Well, I mean, but that's part of it, right?
Yeah, but I really put my all into it.
So wait, you were Jennifer Grey, but by yourself?
Yep, dancing with Patrick Swayze, who wasn't there.
That's awesome.
It's on my Instagram somewhere.
LA Podfest is September 23rd, 24th, 25th. We have had people ask us what day.
Yeah.
But we haven't been told what day.
We should do every day, probably.
Yeah, I don't know how it actually works.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I think if you go onto the website, which is LA Podfest, they're on event, like the tickets are on Eventbrite, but if you put in LA Podfest 2016, you can get all the information and hopefully the schedule is up or will be up soon.
Come watch our choreographed dance.
Come watch. I will be dressed like a werewolf and Georgia will be dressed like that girl that he goes to the movies with.
I'm scared the whole time. I'm just going, I'm scared. Running away from you the whole time.
We should both wear the yellow eyes.
Yeah. We should both be Michael Jackson probably.
Let's do double Michael Jackson because that's probably what he wanted.
I'm sure that's what he wanted.
I mean,
he would have
loved it. Also do The Way You Make Me Feel, which is where he just follows that girl down the alley.
Oh, yeah, and sings at her?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't even care that you're about to rape me. And just like, she should be pepper spraying him.
Yeah, and there's like a car on fire.
Right.
And it couldn't be more dangerous. And then he's like, I think you're great. I'm going to sing in your ear down this alley.
Like, yeah, I'm great. Leave me alone. Yeah. You're going to have to come to the LA Podfest to see what dance we do.
Yeah, we'll reveal it at the Podfest only.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket holders.
Oh my God.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens. And don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out. You never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
What other housekeeping? Any housekeeping?
This is my favorite murder.
Uh-oh.
That's it.
I think you're first this week.
I am first.
Skippers, it's time to cut back
in. Hey, ready? And stop skipping now. Now. All right. So two things made me want to do this murder, my favorite murder this week. One of which was I finished an audiobook called We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Oh.
Which was a book about... It was a book written, fictional book written by the mother of a kid who had done a school shooting. Mm-hmm. And it was all the letters were to the father. And it was like how they raised this kid and what happened and why he became who he became. Mm. And it was a really good book. And I just finished that.
Okay.
And then on Sunday morning, the fucking Orlando shootings happened.
Yep.
And it's horrific and awful and disgusting. And so I kind of was looking at the Facebook page and found this information that I had never known about before that I wanted to talk about. The Cleveland Elementary School shooting.
Uh-oh.
Do you know this one?
No.
Okay. It took place on January 29th, 1979 in San Diego, California. Shots were fired at a public elementary school, and the person who was doing the shooting lived in a house across the street from the school, and her name was Brenda Spencer. She was 16 years old.
Holy shit, Brenda.
Yep, there is the fucking...
Wait, can I ask a question? Is this I Don't Like Monday?
I Don't Like Monday.
I'm sorry.
The Boomtown Rants, yes.
Is that... Sorry.
It's okay. It's fucking I was just so proud.
It's my favorite.
That's okay.
But I don't know the story. I only know that a girl did it and a girl said it.
Okay. So Brenda Spencer, she lived in a house across the street from the school, and she would become known as the mother of schoolyard massacres, such as Columbine, and she was like the first school shooter. So on the morning of January 29th, 1979, she began shooting from her home at children who were waiting outside Cleveland Elementary School, which was across the street from her house. The first person that she killed was the principal, Burton Ragg, and he was opening the gates to the school. 53 years old, ran outside to help the victims and helped get rid of the children and move them inside, and he got shot in the chest. And then Michael Schuchar,
Shooter?
Schuer. 56, he was a school custodian, rushed out to help the dying principal, and he was shot. Ugh. So those were the two fatalities, but 8 children were injured. So then the San Diego police officer, Robert Robb, was the first to arrive at the scene, and he got a bullet in his neck. Whoa. And I've heard conflicting, I've read conflicting stories that someone moved, commandeered a garbage truck and drove it in front of the school because they could tell where the sniper was. And I heard it was this officer who got shot in the neck, but others are saying he just arrived and got shot in the neck. So I'm not sure, but I don't want to not give him credit if that's the case.
So that's so smart.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, what a quick action to take that you just block the shooter.
Yeah, I would have never thought of that.
And putting yourself in harm's way like that.
Yeah. That's amazing. Whoever thought of it.
Yeah.
High five.
How pissed off was she when that happened?
Yeah. It's like the best move.
Yeah. So after firing 30 rounds of ammunition, she Spencer barricaded herself inside her home for like 6 hours. So then on a hunch, a reporter from the local paper called the phone number that was associated with the address, and a young girl answered. It was Barbara. The reporter asked if she knew where the shots were coming from, and she said her address, and the reporter pointed that out. She said, yeah, who do you think's doing the shooting? And the next question was why, and she said, I don't like Mondays. This livens up the day.
Oh. I weirdly have chills right now.
Chills.
Because also, sorry, but 16 is, it's such a rough age anyway.
And that answer is so sad.
It's someone that gave up. Like,
it's someone that doesn't understand the levity of what they're doing. Is that the right word?
It's the opposite, but I understand what you mean. Gravity of what you're
gravity
doing.
Gravity of what they're doing. That would have sounded so much better if I had gotten that word right.
This is what we're about, not sounding good.
My favorite murder. She spoke with police negotiators who were telling them they had made easy targets, and that's why she shot them, which is so fucking creepy. And she was going to come out shooting, but ultimately she surrendered. And the police found beer and whiskey bottles around the house, but she didn't appear to be intoxicated.
Oh, so this is probably not the greatest home life.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right. Well, 14 years into her sentence, she gave a TV interview, which she said that she was high on whiskey, angel dust, and pot.
What? Hold on. That combination is insane.
But here's the thing, is that at the time of her arrest, her toxicology reports came back clean.
So is she lying?
Either she's lying or the toxicology reports were incorrect. And keep in mind, she's saying these things at a parole hearing.
So it wouldn't get her anything to lie.
No, it would get her out. I mean, you would think that if she was
her excuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there were those bottles around the house because her dad was a fucking alcoholic.
But it's just so crazy to, I just think, sure, you drink whiskey and then you smoke pot. Angel dust is like what insane bikers
in
do.
San Diego. That's that was a suburb back then, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a chill beach town. And
it's like us talking about, like, has anyone ever offered you peyote? No. And they have ever offered you angel dust?
No. Like, you could barely get pot when I was growing up. That was like, you were so excited when someone's cousin came back from Hawaii or whatever.
And it was almost like there was this remember Dare? Was that?
Yep.
Did you have that then?
Mm-hmm.
So Dare was, what was it?
Dare to keep your kids off drugs. Drug addicts. Really engaged. I know, okay. Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yeah. Basically, in the 80s and early 90s, there was this like program to keep kids off drugs called DARE.
Carolyn is on
drugs. And I was in that. I was like in the perfect, you know, in the epicenter of that. Thanks, Nancy Reagan. And
yeah. You had to pledge, right?
Yeah.
That you wouldn't do drugs.
Yeah. And at the time, I was like, when I was like in sixth grade, I was like, well, I'm never going to do angel dust, but I kind of want to try pot, you know, but like I thought that would lead to angel dust. And when I found out like that my parents smoked pot and that like people I knew smoked pot, it was like, oh, everything was a lie. So I'm just going to do everything, you know?
Wow.
Like, just say something.
Yeah.
Like no one gets angel dust is my point.
Exactly. It's a crazy, unless her father was some kind of like
sure
dealer or a biker or like somebody that kind of lived in the in that fringe life. But yeah. When you do angel dust, you go insane and you have superhuman strength. And
it sounds like something she would have made up because she didn't know.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like a very fakey, dumb combination.
Yeah, like saying cocaine would have made more sense, but she probably didn't even like know to say that.
Although, if we refer back to the classic film Friday, there is that part where Chris Tucker's pot is laced with angel dust and he ends up in the pigeon coop. Remember? He's like freaking out. Yeah. I mean, it happens like, but I also don't think you'd be able to shoot a gun very accurately if you were on angel dust.
Also, why would someone put angel dust in pot? Like, you're just spending more money.
Because they're trying to ruin your Rolling Stones concert.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Kitten is going crazy. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So her parents had separated before this happened, and she lived with her father, Wallace Spencer, in virtual poverty, and they slept on a single mattress in the living room floor.
Together?
Yep. Acquaintances later said that she expressed negative attitudes towards police and had talked about shooting one. Teachers described her as introverted, and she started hanging out with other troubled youth and became obsessed with Alice Cooper, which actually he's like a crazy intellectual. It's like so hard to think about people like using him as an excuse, and he's like an incredible intellectual.
And also, isn't he super into golf? Like when he doesn't have makeup on,
yeah,
he's just like kind of an old dude with too long hair at the golf course. And that was
like performance art too. Like he wasn't even serious about it.
When people try to say that, it's like, too bad. You're making the money off of people taking it seriously. Yeah. So you have to take it seriously because I've seen Alice Cooper. Like, I grew up with Alice Cooper being on TV with blood in the corner of his mouth. Everyone took it seriously. There's nothing performance art about it. Yeah. It's not like you're in a black box theater.
Yeah, you could be like, just kidding, afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really mad at Alice Cooper.
I can tell. Is that your father? I hate you, Dad.
I hate you. I will go to the dance.
All right. So in December, which is the month before the shooting happened, a psychiatric evaluation was recommended for her. And they said that she should go to a mental hospital due to her depressed state.
Uh-oh.
But her father refused to give permission. I wanted to go to rehab. I said, no.
Dad says it's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Look at me.
In 3 months, I'm dead. Yeah. So is everybody else. Right. I love that song.
But so, yeah, I do too. For Christmas, so he said no, he wouldn't let her go to rehab. And then for Christmas, he gave her a Ruger.
No.
A 10/22 semi-automatic 22 caliber rifle. Sorry for everyone who fucking knows about guns that I just butchered that. With a telescope sight and 500 rounds of ammunition.
No!
She had asked for a radio.
Her father gave her that gun.
She asked for a radio for her birthday, and her dad, who had just been told that she should go to psychiatric
a mental hospital
because she was depressed, gave her a gun.
Yeah. Well, he's a real piece of work.
I mean, some people shouldn't have children, it turns out.
Fuck. That's
heavy. And she said later that I felt like he wanted me to kill myself, she said.
Also, 500 rounds?
Yeah, that's a lot
of rounds. I agree.
Yeah. In 2001, later, she accused her father of having drunkenly subjected her to beatings and sexual abuse. But he said the allegations were not true.
I don't feel good about a single mattress on the floor in the living room.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
She was tried as an adult. She finally came out, put her gun down, came out. She was tried as an adult, pled guilty to two counts of murder and assault with a deadly weapon, sentenced to prison for 25 years to life. And then in prison, she was diagnosed as an epileptic.
Oh, I have that.
I know. Uh-oh. Wait. And then she received medication while at California Institute for Women in Chino. Mm-hmm. California, that's your neighborhood, right?
No. Nope.
Great. but then later, here's the fucking kicker. During tests while she was in custody, it was discovered that she had an injury to the temporal lobe of her brain
that's
attributed
right.
to her accident on her bicycle. Fucking
childhood head injury.
Dude, send them back, like we said
last. Send them all back.
If your kid hits his head.
Oh, you know what? I just had a realization that all of the helmet bullshit that for years I've been like, this is dumb and these helicopter parents are crazy. What if they've just wiped out an entire generation of serial killers by making sure children have helmets on all the time?
Definitely.
Dude.
I bet you're right.
That's heavy.
That's so
heavy. I mean, some will slip through just because it was meant to be.
Some don't even need a hand injury. They're just they're like shit to begin with.
They're hell bent.
Yeah. Their parents make it sure that they're fucking just terrible.
That is a crazy fucking story.
Head injury, just like so many serial killers out there.
Yeah.
Fuck. Man. All right. At a hearing in 2001, she said that her father beat and sexually abused her. And she submitted a written statement in which she said that her father had begun fondling her when she was 9 and sexually assaulted her virtually every night.
Oh.
Which is like, why, you know, why didn't you come out with that earlier? I don't want to doubt her, but it's like, that's a hard thing to talk about when you really did these horrible things.
Also, she could have just maybe dissociated so that it was this, she's in this world now where she's killing people. It's like everything is a cry for help. And maybe she was on angel dust.
And maybe she didn't understand the connection between her father sexually abusing her and her wanting to die. And so...
And kill other people.
The
rage that she felt.
I didn't mean to victim blame. And I totally...
No. We're just talking about theories.
And here's how you... So the father never admitted to any of this, but he was visiting her in a juvenile detention facility after her arrest, and he met a girl who resembled Brenda, but was younger. They went on to have a sexual relationship, and he married her.
Ew.
So clearly he has a fetish for fucking underage girls.
He does not like it.
Like his daughter.
Yeah. He's not against it.
Nope. That's like enough proof, I feel like, for me.
Hell yeah.
That it's true.
Oh, that's insanely dark.
In 2009, the parole board ruled that she would be denied parole and wouldn't be considered for 10 years. So she'll be eligible again in 2019.
Okay.
But in a 2001 statement, she acknowledged her possible role as the inspiration for later generations of angry kids, saying, she said, quote, "With every school shooting, I feel I'm partially responsible. What if they got the idea from what I did?"
Oh.
And of course, finally, the song "I Don't Like Mondays," written by Bob Geldof for his band Boomtown Rats, was released later that year based on that song. And I just want to go ahead and say that this is, everyone listening, this is our new karaoke song. Yes. "I Don't Like Mondays," you know.
That song, I remember in high school finding out that that was about a girl that did a school shooting, and it was just like the most fascinating thing
to me. It changes that song completely.
I just assumed it was British, though, since Boomtown Rats and that guy. Or is he's Irish.
He's not.
I think
from
he's
here.
Irish.
Is he?
He is not from here. but I just assumed it all happened in the UK.
Yeah.
I'll safely say that.
Yeah, no. So, but they were playing at the time. In San Diego, I think. When her trial was going on, they were playing in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
So they kept seeing headlines of her being the "I Don't Like Mondays" girl.
See, that super bums me out because, and maybe this is just a bias because it's a female shooter. It's like a 16-year-old girl where I so understand the mindset no matter what. But then fact after fact on top of that is like, that girl did not have a chance.
Nope.
She didn't have a chance.
No, she was going, I mean... It's, and again, one of those things of like, don't kill people, just kill yourself. That's what we hope for. But I wish she had had, you know, clearly some people cared about her, that they took her to a psychiatrist and that they put her in like a school or they put her in with counselors who were there for troubled youth. They tried.
Yeah.
And her fucking shitty parents just wouldn't let her have that. Like, what if he had said okay and she had gone to this mental institution?
I know.
She would have been fine.
Also, it's so, I just would like to remind us all of the garbage truck part, because I really like that part.
What about it? Like,
they
probably saved so many lives that day.
Seriously, and just kind of like blocking off the whole thing of like, no, you're not doing this anymore. Like, that's so badass.
It's brave and fucking...
It's just quick thinking and like sharp problem solving.
Totally.
I like it. Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, that's fucked up, right? So that's the... Cleveland Elementary School shooting.
What's her name again?
Brenda Spencer.
Brenda Spencer.
honey.
Honey.
And she, if you look at photos of her, she's like this kind of like cute little squirrely nerd.
Oh.
She's like a nerdy nerd.
Ugh. Ugh.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com.
Goodbye.
Well, I took it back because of, I kind of wanted to do this anyway, because when we talk about things, it's so funny that we fully do this podcast, love it, enjoy it, and yet bum ourselves out every week after we talk about our topics. So I was like, how about a little distance and we go back in history a little bit?
Ooh.
And we don't have to be so present day and so have to feel it so much. So I went all the way back to 1885.
I have no feelings about that.
Who gives a fuck?
No, I don't give a shit.
Weird outfits and like high neck dresses and shit.
Racism.
All kinds of isms. The nurse, the deadly nurse, Jane Toppin, is my person. You may have heard of her. She
it's okay to laugh at this because it's from the 1850s.
That's right. Anything before 1900, you can laugh and laugh. She was an Irish immigrant whose mother died of tuberculosis when she was very young, and whose father, a tailor, was a well-known alcoholic and eccentric who, some say, after her mother's death, tried to sew his eyelids shut because he was so insane with grief and alcoholism.
What does that have to do with anything?
I mean, it's just like, it's just painting the picture of where we're even starting with this girl who is a child when this happens.
Jesus.
That is, it's some articles
say it happened. Some say it was a rumor, and it was just basically everyone knew this dad was a nut.
That's how fucking crazy everything was.
He was super crazy. Yeah. It speaks more just to him and his reputation. The crazy tailor up the street. So, a few years later, that dad drops off, her name at the time was Honor Kelly. And, she's 6 years old and her sister is eight. And, the dad drops them off at the Boston Female Asylum, which is a girl's orphanage. Documents from the asylum note that the two girls were, quote, rescued from a very miserable home.
Oh no.
So yeah. So even if he wasn't crazy enough to do something as totally Saw, the Saw movie series, as sew his own eyelids together, it was bad news. Yeah. So, after 2 years at that orphanage, Honora Kelly, if I'm saying her name right, was placed as an indentured servant in the home of Mrs. Ann C. Toppin of Lowell, Massachusetts.
So she was like eight or ten.
8 years old.
8 years old. And can you imagine having a little servant?
An 8 year old indentured servant.
Can you be like, can you go get me my fucking, run my bath, 8 year old?
Or like probably scrub the dishes and like lift shit. Yeah. I mean, like they didn't care. This was 1885.
Oh, that's so sick.
They didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, kids were just like little humans.
Yeah, this is when they were like, get them in the factory because their little arms can go into the machines.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Dude.
This is also why I love Charles Dickens, because all of his stories include all that like child labor shit,
but from true to life,
roughly around this time. Yeah, where it was like, fuck, we wouldn't know if it weren't for like those stories, or be like the last thing that would ever happen to most children these days, at least in America.
Right. Hope. Yeah.
Kind of. Anyway, so Honora was never officially adopted by the Toppins, but she took their surname and eventually became known as Jane Toppin.
Which is so weird that you're like, I'm not part of the family, I'm just your fucking servant, so I'm taking your last name.
Yeah, I'm your lifelong child servant.
Jesus.
Okay. Living in your house. So in 1885, she began training to be a nurse at Cambridge Hospital. So during her residency, she used her patients as guinea pigs in experiments with morphine and atropine. So she would basically go into patients who are like on a morphine drip, and she would give them atropine, which I'm pretty sure is like an upper.
Oh.
So she would play back and forth with sending them out and bringing them back. Over and over.
Oh my God, just let them go to sleep.
Yeah, no, she basically got sexual, she got aroused sexually from seeing people be brought to the brink of death and then come back and then go back.
What the fuck does that have to do with sex?
Well, so I think this might be shedding a light on some fucked up shit that happened to her beforehand somewhere in the past. I, if there's a book about her, I will read it.
Because choked.
She, some shit happened. Yeah. So she would do that to these patients and then get, she, cause she kind of, you know, like wanted to see like how it affected them, but also would get into bed with them and hold them, as it was happening. She told police after her arrest that she got a sexual thrill from being near patients, when they were being next to patients when they were near death, coming back to life and then dying again. So she, this is by her own admission that this got her off.
Okay.
Which is, you know, everybody's into something.
Aren't they though?
So she would get, she would administer the drug and then she'd get into bed with them and hold them close to her as they died.
What?
Uh-huh. And then this article says that this is rare for female serial killers. They usually kill for material reasons.
Sexist. Bullshit.
That the, on average, it's not sexual satisfaction. That's, that's man's domain.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and so in a way I'm proud of Jane because she broke that glass ceiling and did, and she got hers. sorry, that's wrong. So, she didn't get caught, I guess, because she was recommended for Massachusetts General Hospital in 1889, which this article says is prestigious. And there she killed a couple more people. And
so she was actually killing people, because it sounds like she was bringing them back, but certain people she wasn't bringing back.
She would bring them back a couple times, but ultimately let them die, and that's what got her off.
Oh, okay.
So it was like she would play with it, and that would be like, you know.
Crazy.
But I guess didn't get caught and kind of was able to cover it up. I read a thing about how she kind of messed with the charts. So everything was, you know, yeah. It was back then. It was just like, yeah, people die, yeah. Whatever. And I think no one would suspect a woman. No one would suspect a nurse.
Sure.
You know. So she goes to Mass General and then kills more people and then gets fired. So probably like someone was sharp and on it, yeah. And a little bit like, too many people have died. Yeah. Under your watch. So then she went back to Cambridge, but she got dismissed for prescribing opiates recklessly, which is like, how is a nurse prescribing anything? But I guess that's how they did it back then.
She sounds fun.
She sounds like she parties, and she forces other people to party.
Sure.
Till their death.
Till death.
just like a fraternity. So then she, of course, what's her natural next step if she gets fired as a nurse at a hospital?
Private nurse?
Private nursing is exactly right, Georgia. Yeah. That's right,
mind
girl.
Of a killer right here.
That's right. So she, she flourished as a private nurse despite complaints of petty theft. So Jane couldn't handle her shit. She had her hands everywhere. She had all
kinds
of... They were
still like, but she's a good nurse.
But you know what? She gives me a bath real good.
Yeah.
So then as a private nurse, that's when she really starts her poisoning spree.
Wow.
In 1895, she killed her landlords, which is a great
fair
solution. We've all been there. Yeah. In 1899, she killed her foster sister, Elizabeth, with strychnine,
aww.
Which is, I think, a very painful way to go.
Yeah.
It's no morphine atrophine ride.
It's no nighty night.
It's no nighty night. Good morning.
Yeah.
In 1901, she moved in with the Davis family, because the elderly patriarch was Alden Davis, and his wife had died, and so she was there to take care of him in his old age. Well, it turns out she killed his wife. That's why she got the job.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh. So within weeks, she had killed the patriarch of the family, Alden Davis, and two of his daughters. Within weeks.
Honey, you're being so obvious.
Honey, pace yourself.
Dude, pace yourself.
This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Like one per family is what you get.
I mean, you do know people catch on
right.
to just like mass murdering an entire family.
Yeah.
So after that happened, she moved back to her hometown and began courting her late foster sister, Elizabeth's husband. So she's like,
I thought you said hoarding.
She was hoarding into herself.
She was hoarding it. It was all over the house.
So
that's shitty.
She then kills his sister.
Oh, God.
And then poisons him so she could earn his love by nursing him back to health.
For fuck's sake.
And then she, when that didn't work, she poisoned herself to try to garner his sympathy.
Actually, that's kind of smart.
But it didn't work.
Okay.
And so he cast her out of the house, which is something people did in the late 1800s. She was cast out.
Even though she was sick?
Well, she got over it.
Yeah.
Because she probably gave herself the tiniest little bit of strychnine.
A sneaky snack of strychnine.
Just put a little bit on top of her biscuit. So the rest of the Davises, who hadn't been terribly murdered in that house, ordered a toxicology exam on the youngest daughter that had died. And they found that she had been poisoned. And so they put a police detail on good old Jane Toppin. And on October 26, 1901, she was arrested for murder. And by 1902, she confessed to 31 murders.
Holy shit.
Yeah, girl. And she's quoted, this is one of the reasons that I picked this story.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. It kind of makes me like her. There's something about this that I'm being a little ridiculous.
Because the victim's family, it's like three generations later. So it's like,
right. There's no guilt.
No.
Angry letter from a Davis.
Yeah.
How dare you? So she was quoted. She told the cops that her ambition was to, quote, to have killed more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who ever lived.
Wow.
It's what she wanted, and she tried her best.
What did she know? Like, did she have a reason why? Like, did she think she was helping hopeless people?
I think there's some angel of death nurse types that do think they're helping. Or like the doctor that I did.
Richard Ward. Yeah.
That guy, I think, was trying to convince himself. It was like, if they're a little bit older, take them out before they suffer.
Yeah. But he was getting like early 70-year-olds.
Yeah. No, he... I mean, I guess I was saying he was probably rationalizing it to himself but that couldn't have been the real reason. No. But this one, no. I think she just got off on helpless people. And killing people and taking advantage of helpless people, which is the creepiest.
Damn, dude. I bet part. Like there's got to be something like by the time you're six and you've lived in this fucking depraved, fucked up household world and then you move to a fucking... school for girls in Boston, so it's, you know, probably real fucked up.
Yeah,
you just don't have any empathy anymore.
I mean, hit yourself in the head with a swing at that point because you're done. Her sister, her older sister, stayed in that orphanage like a couple years longer than her, and then basically eventually became a prostitute and died of alcoalism in the gutter. So
she got the better of the two lives.
She went out and she made a life for herself. But I feel like, yeah, the Kelly family of the Taylor, the famous crazy Taylor Kelly, they didn't have much of a chance. There was dark, Angela's Ashes style darkness.
Don't date anyone ever. Like don't invite anyone into your home.
Easy for you to say you're married.
He could be a fucking serial killer for all I know. What if he was? He's not. He's totally not.
He's not.
I know.
And if he is, what a great episode that'll be.
I've had a great run.
You've had a great life.
He gave me
everything.
You've
had some great nightgowns. Up until the point that he murdered you, he has been so good to you.
Yeah. If he murders me without me knowing that it's him that murdered me, then I die happy.
Oh my God. You'll just go out in your sleep?
Yeah.
Like an axe in the back of your head?
Sure.
Listen, on June 23rd, 1902. No. This is the end of it.
Okay.
She was... found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Whoa.
At the Barnstable County Courthouse, but she was committed for life in Taunton Insane Hospital.
Yeah.
And then she died August 17th, 1938.
Whoa.
So she lived in the mental hospital for quite some time.
What would you give to go fucking have a chit chat with her?
Just be like, listen, Jane. Hi, I know that's not your real name. Jane.
She's like, here, you want a sneaky snack?
No, thanks. No, I brought my own in the Ziploc bag. Yeah. Just want to know what happened. Did your dad sew his eyes shut with leather shoelaces? I'm adding that part because it's so disgusting.
He was a tailor, so I bet there were clean stitches.
I bet he did it real quick, and it was only like $12,
which is $24 in today's standards.
In the post, in turn
of the century. What was her name?
Her name's Jane Taupin.
Fuck, dude.
And I'm sure there's much more to know about her. Yeah. I really do want to read like a full on book. I'm sorry I can't give you all of the.
No, that's a good sum.
I feel like there's lots more information to be had. I just don't have it.
How pissed are the Taupins that she moved in with? They're like, we got to change our fucking name now because this is our legacy.
Well, also, yeah. You know what? Too bad. Then maybe don't hire 8-year-old indentured servants. Yeah, you dicks.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
You deserve all of it and more.
You deserve your bad name.
Also, what if something happened to her in that? Where it kicked off. Like she was like, everything's terrible. Okay, now I'm this orphanage. Okay, well at least I have this job as an 8-year-old. And then things really kick off at the Taupin's house.
It's like Rape City.
Who hires an 8-year-old indentured servant?
Yeah.
You creep, you old rich creeps.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
Everything is fucked.
I don't know. I see that. I don't know.
You see the positive?
I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I guess you probably lived longer than anyone else did.
I also think of, like, what if you were laying in the hospital and you're like, you feel terrible. And then you're like, oh, yeah, morphine drip. Yeah. And then you're like, whoa, now I'm on speed.
And you're like, this hot nurse, let's pretend she's hot. This hot nurse is laying next to me. Fuck yeah.
She actually isn't bad looking. There's a really great picture of her on Wikipedia. And she's actually attractive looking, but there is, she got that kind of like, she got the eyes where you're like, oh, you don't want to be in the bathroom with her at the same time. She's one of those people that, you know, she'd immediately start talking to you real close.
Crazy eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I borrow your mascara? No. No, you can't. Back at three steps back, Jane.
Yeah,
we're not doing this.
We're not best friends immediately.
No. And that's not sanitary.
That's crazy. That's a good one. I like old ones.
I do too. Sometimes it's a nice break. Yeah,
we should do a couple. We should throw them in there because it's been real depressing lately.
I know. Let's do, you know what? Hmm. Do you want to do next week a theme of like really, really old ones? Like weirdly from the 1500s or something?
Oh, like oldie times? Yeah.
Like weird old, like, did you ever see In the Name of the Rose with Sean Connery?
No.
It's a real good movie about, it's Sean Connery and Christian Slater, actually.
What? Those two people don't belong together.
I know. It works.
Okay.
They're monks. And they go to this creepy, I mean, I don't even know. It could be a much earlier year. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. It's like the Dark Ages. And they go to this monastery where priests are. Is it a monastery? That's nuns. They go to where priests live because these priests keep dying in weird ways. Mm-hmm. And they have to investigate Sean Connery. I think it's during the Spanish Inquisition, whenever that was.
I love all that shit.
Me too. And the first time I saw it, I was in high school, but I was like, this is fucking fascinating. Cause it was back when like murder was a little bit normal.
Yeah. And you didn't live very long. So it wasn't like you took a ton out of their lives.
Right. But there've always been serial killers.
Yeah. Let's say the 1500s and then do anything around there. Okay. Like between 13 and 17.
Let's say the 1500s, mm-hmm. then get within a 700 year mark of that. That sounds
all the same.
It really is.
Like, when is time?
At the end of the day.
Should we do Matt Dwyer's hometown murder real quick? Okay.
Our friend Matt Dwyer, who Georgia and I, on one of our first excursions as friends, went to this guy, Matt Dwyer, who is a hilarious stand-up comic, improviser, performer from Chicago. We went to his album recording at, what's the name of that bar that he did it at?
Bar 107. It's closed now.
Oh, yeah. It closed. Anyway, we were right there in the audience for his album recording, and that just recently was released. Do you know what's the name of his album?
I'm looking for it right now.
It's something about Inside.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, son of a bitch. Hold on.
Should I try to find it?
Yeah.
It'll be like a race.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at his text, so. Oh, I got it. Wait.
I'm still looking. I'm
inside
still
looking out.
Shit.
Yeah.
Inside Looking Out by Matt Dwyer.
It's on vinyl and iTunes.
And is he a special thing? Is that a special thing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. That's the label.
Good guy. He has a podcast on Feral as well. All right. I haven't listened to this yet either.
Okay. So this is his hometown murder story.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. It's okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Oops.
So here's my hometown murder story. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago called Streamwood, Illinois, and it was kind of, we didn't call it white trash at the time, we called it, a lot of people, hillbillies. It was kind of very working class and angry. And there was this girl who I didn't know, she was a few years older than me, but she was pretty and very popular, and she went missing, and no one in, you know, in this kind of town, not that kind of stuff happened, and they couldn't find her for like a couple weeks, and then I think eventually they found her in a field or a swamp, and she'd been murdered and raped, and they couldn't find the killer, and then slowly they realized that she was in a her parents' child, and they had two adopted sons, the Wright brothers, not the ones who flew the planes, obviously, but one of the brothers and his best friend forced her out into this field, and they beat and raped her and killed her, and they couldn't figure out if it was them for a while. I think they suspected it, but then the other brother who didn't kill her, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, he ratted them out because he felt really horrible. The crazy thing is, my eighth grade summer, I had to go to summer school because I didn't pay attention in school. And we would take a bus from my hometown to Elgin, Illinois, to go to our summer school classes. And I only had to take one class, and so did he. And then we'd have to wait for the other classes to be over and before we could take our bus back to our town. So me and the murderer brother would hang out, and we kind of vaguely knew each other, but we had no other friends to hang out with, so we would just like walk around this weird park and talk. And I remember like thinking, like, he never made eye contact, he had a creepy vibe. And the brother who ended up, not the non-murderer brother, he ended up moving to the West Coast and changing his name, and I don't but the parents appeal, they recently, I think, appealed the release of the two murders, one which was their adopted son. That's my murder story. I hope you enjoyed it.
Holy shit.
A fucking...
He was forced, kind of, to be friends with the murderer?
Yeah, but it's crazy that the adopted son... Man, I bet you were bummed about that.
That...
Adoption.
Is nuts.
Totally nuts.
So wait, before they found out that he did it?
Before he even did it.
Okay.
I think.
But he was a creep.
Here's just the thing. I'm never having children.
Well, look. There's a lot to be afraid of.
Kittens that's are for not sure. one of them.
Kittens are great. That's so heavy.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Matt, I would think about that constantly.
Yeah. And the fact that he kind of knew there was something creepy about him. Like, he wouldn't make eye contact.
Right. That's kind of a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm making eye contact with you so hard right now, just so you know that I'm not a murderer.
That we're not. My ex had a hard time keeping eye contact.
Really?
Uh-huh. It used to bum me out. But of course, instead of being like, oh, I don't like this trait in a person, I'm not going to continue going out with him, I just decided that meant something bad about me. Uh-huh. Ladies,
like, he doesn't
want to
like it.
Yeah, he can't look at me. I better lose weight, or I better do this or that.
Be more interesting, so he'll want to talk.
Oh,
yeah. It's crazy that you don't notice that trait or like certain traits until it's not there. Like, you don't notice someone doesn't make eye contact until, or someone does or doesn't, until they fucking don't hardcore, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't notice that now. I can't stop making eye contact with you. It's like something I can't.
No, we're just staring at each other.
Yeah. It's like not a thing you notice that it's a thing until it's happening.
Right.
Incorrectly.
I know. And also that is such a it's like such a primal thing.
Yeah.
Looking into another person's eyes is like, I can talk to you, we are connected.
Yeah, I see you and as a human being.
Yeah. It's like saying, I don't want to be connected to you.
Yeah.
Is how I took it.
Or like, I can't. Not even I don't want to. Like, it's not even a thing that crosses my mind.
Yeah, I can't. I won't.
Yeah, he didn't even know that he was supposed to be doing that. Probably. Did you ever bring it up?
No, not really.
You just murdered him and then moved on.
If only.
Admission right there.
The more we do this podcast, the more I know that I'm absolutely the murderer, for sure. That's if I'm going to land on any side.
What do you
at
mean?
All. I mean, because I have the childhood head injury, seizures, fucking,
You killed all those cats.
I killed all those cats. I wet the bed to this day. All the things. The triangle trifecta, whatever it's called.
That's why I started this with you, is because I knew that.
Just because you were going to pin me in and you called the cops?
Yeah, this whole thing has been, this has never gone. This is all for the cops.
They play back hours of us being like, anyway.
Like, I don't even know. My cat, Elvis, is my cat.
We're arrested for vocal fry. Fine, I'll go down for it. I'm proud.
It was all her. See?
See?
See? It was all Garrett.
Well, go to Feral Audio to listen to all our other... There's so many. There's 20.
There's 20 of ours?
I thought
you were telling people to listen to other podcasts.
Oh, no. Don't fucking... fuck you. Don't listen to anything else, assholes.
Only listen to us forever.
Please. We have 20 other episodes. This is on Feral Audio and on iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe so we can beat out the competish.
And you know what? Ultimately, stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye! Bye.